We are continuing on our series on understanding the inner man and outer man model of how we see ourselves. The most of the church world uses the model of I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. However, there's a better model that Paul uses that says I have an inner man and an outward man. And that changes a lot of things when you realize that my outward man, the person who I was from my first birth, was not born again. I'm wearing the outward body that has a mind, will, and emotions, desires, deeds that are not of God. But my inner man was born completely from God. In fact, let's look at one verse before we start into continuing our subject here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, he says, "And you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So we have an example from Paul is the words new man and old man. So you still are wearing the old man. That's the outward body. Most Christians are stuck at the idea that their outward body is like a glove. It's just a inanimate object. It has no direction. It's a glove that I wear over my inner man. But what we understand with the inner man and outward man picture is that the outward man isn't a glove. It's not just dormant. It's not just skin. It's also the mind, will, and emotions, which has appetites. The difference is if I took my glove for a walk and I tied a leash around it and took it for a walk, it would just obey and follow me around. It would, no resistance, no direction, no ambition, no desires. It's just an object. But if I put that same leash on a dog, which has a personality, which has desires and plans, and you take your dog for a walk, unless it's really a trained dog, that dog will try to go this way and that way, and it has plans, and you got to train and fight that dog to submit. Well, that's the difference of the inner man and outward man version. See, the version, the model of I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body teaches that you have to retrain your soul, mind, will, and emotions, in all of its appetites, and retrain it, and that your body is just a glove. But the inner man, outward man tells us that the outward man, the body, also has the soul of the outward man, its appetites and desires, which it tries to lead you and guide you. So I'm not trying to tell you to fix your outward soul, but to mortify it and make it submit to the inner man. And that's a big difference, because now when you're born again, you're not trying to fix all the mess that you were before. You're not limited by your natural mental ability, your natural emotional ability. A lot of people come to Christ because they're really broken. And they spend their whole life struggling with that outward soul, trying to repair it, trying to maneuver it to look like Jesus. But it never can. Even the good souls, the people who have been raised well and don't have a lot of brokenness, are mature in the outward world, the outward soul, is still not capable of being like Jesus. It can try to act like Jesus, but it's just an actor. Whereas your inner man, this new man that was created by God the moment you were saved, in true righteousness and holiness, is birthed in the image of God from material that's from God. So now you can understand the things of God. It doesn't need to be retrained. It just needs to be matured and grown up. So that's the overview of the picture we're trying to paint. Hope you've been listening. All of us, I know that you already are dissatisfied with regular Christianity. It starts to get a little concerning as you get older when we made fun of the older generation that we started off with as being stuck in a rut. But we were the new generation. We were the Joshua generation. We were going to bring revival. We were going to change the nations. But as you get older, you start to realize wait a minute, this system of Christianity that's so common isn't bringing revival. It's not bringing the scripture to life. It's not bringing Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John when they Jesus raised the dead and cast out demons and healed all the sick. We don't see that in our church world today. So we're in danger of passing the same religious misunderstanding, carnal Christianity, to the next generation. We're the old guys now that the newer generation is saying, I'm not going to be like them. I'm the Joshua generation. You and I were, you know, maybe in the Moses generation. And it's like, I'm going to move forward and bring revival. But that's the power of deception. That's the power of religion. It allows generation after generation to pass wrong teaching, still get people to heaven, but not let the church walk in the fullness of what God intended it to be. And that's probably why you're on the same path that I am, that I don't have all the answers, but I know that what I had wasn't enough. There was something missing. It was good, but it wasn't excellent. There's a more excellent way. There's a better way, a stronger way for us to walk into it. And even if I have to lose and give up a lot of my old thinking to find a path that will work, that will bring us to a real revival, to bring us to where we see what Jesus walked in our lives, then it's worth it to learn and to grow and mature. It's worth it to seek the truth. And that's why I know you're here, because you're not satisfied with where you're at or what you see the church as being at as a whole. And Pastor Dave always said that he believed that revival was found in the verses that we kind of skip over. And maybe that's why the Lord has me focusing so much on certain verses that we normally skip over. And it's amazing when I find a verse and I try to describe it, I have to almost relearn how to say things, because as soon as you say things to people, they take what you say and they throw it into what they understand. And I say, no, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about this. And so we are talking today about the new nature. The new nature is the smallest part of you. It's important you understand that, because many people give the new nature attributes that it doesn't have. You know, I used to say I need to mature my new nature, but I don't say that anymore, because my new nature is already fully, completely righteous. It doesn't grow. It doesn't mature. It doesn't learn. It's just a new nature, but it is a powerful part of me that produces righteousness. The inner man is the part of you that also got born again. That's your inner body that contains a spiritual mind, emotions, and desires that are completely of righteousness. It only wants God. It knows God as your Father. Your outward man will never know God as a Father. It only wants God under religion. It's the reason why many people in the carnal Christianity, they're still going to heaven, but they're learning how to walk with God through their outward man, because their inner man stays like a little child. They don't pour into it. They don't sow into the inner man. They only sow into spiritual experiences. And so they never grow in the inner man, and they're limited. They limit God. They limit themselves through their carnal ability. And it's the reason why some of the preaching that's out there, they get away with it, because they make promises that entice the outward man. Would you like to be blessed? Would you like to have a great life now and a new car? Then just sow money to my ministry. Well, that's enticing to the outward man. That makes complete sense to the outward carnal man, because the outward man is not saved. So it only knows a relationship with God like a deity in heaven and me a little worm. And so I need to give him offerings and give him worship so he'll accept me, he'll love me, he'll bless me. Well, that's not how the family of God works. The family of God works that you are born a child of God. You have a Father that will reward you for your maturity, not for your offerings. Just like with my children. If I tell my children, I have one in college right now and another one in high school, and they want me to bless them, well, they're old enough that I need to see fruit. Are you going to school? Are you passing your grades? Are you maturing? Are you handling your business like a young adult? If my son didn't go to school and wanted to live in his bedroom and play Xbox all day and be a 30-year-old bum living in my house, say, Dad, will you bless me? Will you give me things? What if I tell you I love you? What if I give you worship or honor you? Well, then you keep blessing me. See, as a father, no, you need a job. You need a career. You need a life. You need to walk and stand up as a young man. I'm not going to enable you to be an immature child. Under religion, religion doesn't demand maturity. It demands sacrifice and obedience and submission. And you offer God submission and sacrifice and offerings to appease him so he'll accept you as you are. And so it's not growing up. It's doing things to make him happy, appeasing a deity way in heaven. Well, God's still a deity, but he's in you and you're of him. You're born of him. You are a child of God, not just in your new nature, but also your inner man came from him. That's the new man. And we have to put the new man on, meaning now we have to add those attributes that are available to us through maturing the inner man. So we got to break down some of these wording so we get rid of a lot of the confusion. We've been talking about the word flesh and spirit in English, how it has many different meanings in Scripture, and we have to find out which one is he talking about. So the word flesh can mean different things. I'll give you a list of what the word flesh can mean. The word flesh can mean old in nature. That's the nature you're born with from Adam. It can mean the natural soul of the outward man, the source of ideas, desires, plans, deeds, passions, lusts, brokenness in your outward body. It can mean your state of emotion, like I had a fleshy day. It can mean what culture you're from, if you're a Canadian or a Brazilian or a United States American, or if you're a Jewish, that can also mean the word flesh. And finally, it can sometimes mean the actual just physical body. So our job as students of the Holy Spirit is to use the context of the Scripture to interpret what, when he says the word flesh, what is he talking about? And it's important because a couple of the main verses that we learn from uses the word flesh interchangeably, and also the word spirit. The word spirit can mean the new nature. It can mean the Holy Spirit. The word spirit in English can mean a demonic spirit. It can mean your inner man. And so you want to get in context what it means so that you're not confused and that verses don't lose its power to transform you. So we're not trying to transform our salvation. We're not trying to transform our new nature. It's already in us when you're born again. You no longer have a nature of sin. You have a nature of righteousness. It's complete, but you're not complete. The job's not done yet. You have to grow and mature. That inner man is hungry and starving for the presence of God in private worship, is starving for an education by the Holy Spirit as your teacher. And from that, you will overcome the flesh. And we're going to hopefully get into some of that today. Let's go back to Romans 8. And we've been talking about verse 10. I want you to isolate verse 10. And we're going to show today how this is talking about your inner man and your outward man. That you receive the nature of Christ in you. I'll read it to you. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So he uses two nicknames for the new nature here. If Christ is in you, Christ in you is a nickname for your new nature. And also he uses a nickname of righteousness. When you see the word righteousness, it's almost always talking about that new nature of righteousness. That new nature actually produces righteousness. So if Christ is in you, if you're born again, have that new nature, it says the body is dead because of sin. So that's talking about your outward body. The outward body with its mind, emotions, and desires. It is left in death. It was left in darkness. It was not born again. And you'll see that's where your struggle is that your outward man is not saved. And it won't be saved until the trumpet sounds and you receive a new outward man. The new outward body will be made of a righteous material. The mind, emotions, and desires will be made in perfect righteousness, and you'll never have a struggle again for the rest of eternity, not just with sickness and disease, but with anger and jealousy and envy and insecurity and fear and pride. All of those things are in the soul of the outward man. But you've been born again, and you have an inner man that has a mind, will, and emotions that are wanting to grow and mature. If you take the time to invest into it, you will find many, many victories. So Romans 8 and 10. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I could say if you're born again, your outward body is left in darkness, left in death, but your inner man is alive because of the new nature of righteousness. The new nature brought to life the inner man. Now, we'll look over in Luke chapter 5 and pass in review on this. Verse 37, Jesus says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst and the wineskins will be spilled and the wineskins will be ruined." So no one does that. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So new wine, that's the new nature, is placed into a new wineskin. God didn't just give you a new nature. He gave you a new inner body that could handle that new nature. That new nature needed a home where it can grow and bring forth the fruit of Christ, of love, joy, peace. You needed a wineskin that could handle the knowledge of God. And in these verses I'm going to give you, you're going to see all of that is explained when you see this picture of inner man and outward man. It's so clear. If you want to know a secret key to understanding Paul's writings, it's the inner man and outward man model. He wrote to the model of you have an inner man that's been born again. That's the new you, complete person, born on the inside with an outward man that's been left over from your first birth. And it must be mortified and put to death and bow its knee. New wine must be put into new wineskins. I explained how the old wineskin, the leather bottle they used when they poured in the wine and let it ferment, it would stain the outward man. It would stain the outward wineskin and saturate it and harden it so the outward wineskin could not be repaired. That's why you're not getting a fixed outward man when you're saved. It has to be replaced at the sound of the trumpet because it's been stained by the old nature of sin. Even though you no longer have a nature of sin once you're born again, the old wineskin, this outward body, its soul, has been ruined forever. It cannot be redeemed. It cannot be fixed. God will never accept it. It must be diminished, denied, and eventually mortify the deeds of the outward man's soul. New wine must be put into new wineskins. So we read in Romans 8, 1 through 9, and I'm going to talk as if you've listened to the previous videos. Save us some time. We read through Romans 8, 1 through 9, how the word flesh in that verse meant the old nature of sin. And in the word spirit in that verse meant the new nature of righteousness. That's Romans 8, 1 through 9. Now we're going to go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And here the word spirit is talking about your inner man, the newborn, the new wineskin, the newborn inner man. See, God gave us a new nature, but the new nature had to have somewhere to bring forward the emotions of holiness of Christ, the joy of Christ, the love of Christ had to go somewhere. The outward man could not contain it. The outward man's soul could not contain the love of Christ because it's already been hardened by the nature of sin. So he had to create a new wineskin, the inner man, which now has the capacity to have all the knowledge of Christ that Jesus had and walk in the very same love that Jesus had. Most preachers that I've heard in my years have said, you need to love your neighbor. That's a commandment of God. Love in action. But that's not what the word love, agape, means. It's not you loving your neighbor in action. My dog loves me, but that's not the same love as when my child loves me. You and I probably would agree that the love of my daughter is more complex, more beautiful, or more wanted from me than the love from my dog. We could probably agree on that. Now, if I take that same concept that the love of the world, of this earth that's found in the human race, is less than the love from God, which is a higher love, a more complex, a more powerful, potent love. They're both called love in English, but one love is of the human race. But the love of Christ is a higher love than you can find in the human race. Well, now that you're born again, you have an inner man that can hold and experience and live in and develop the very love of Christ, agape love. So when you get born again and they say, now that you're saved, I need you to love your neighbor like Jesus. And we find that most Christians love their neighbor in Jesus' name. They do it for Jesus, but it's not the love of Jesus. It's the love of Alan in the name of Jesus. But there's a higher love that I can have now that I'm born again because I have a new wineskin, a new inner man that can develop and hold the very love of Christ. So the word spirit and flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, is not the same as the word flesh and spirit in Romans 8, 1 to 9. Now, in these verses in Galatians 5, that's where I'm at, verse 16, you're going to discover the terminology for the inner man and for the new nature. And I'm going to prove it to you. We can take this picture in Galatians, and we can take the picture in 2 Corinthians 4 and place it on Romans 8, because they're all talking about the same thing. So Romans, or Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So now he's talking about two parts that you have a battle with. And he says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now over the years, I've heard this taught many different ways. Some people talk about the Spirit being walking in the Holy Spirit. Get up every morning and give your life to the Holy Spirit. Direct my path, Holy Spirit. Some people talk this is the new nature. But the new nature came from the old nature. So I know he's not talking about a tug of war between the nature of sin and the nature of Christ. Because the nature of Christ is a quickened nature of sin. So in this verse 16, he's talking about the inner man that's been born again. The inner man's born again. When you're born again, the inner man, the new wineskin, the inner man becomes to life, to light. It was always there, but it was dark. It was of sin. But now it's been reborn. It's of light. That's what we call the reborn human spirit. And the nature was quickened. The nature also came to light, but the inner man came into existence unformed, like a child. It's underdeveloped, like a child. So the nature of Christ is complete. It's fully done. You'll never get more of it. And it's going to keep you righteous today. And for the next 100 billion years, you'll be righteous because of that new nature. Praise God, because that's what all that you need to get to heaven. But your inner man came into existence underdeveloped. It must grow and mature. That's where the love of Christ is formed, the knowledge of Christ is formed in the soul, mind, will, and emotions of the inner man. The outward man was too stained, it could not handle it. So verse 16, chapter 5, Galatians. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So he's telling you, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. So you're limited because of the flesh. I wish I was living fully righteous. Why can't I just say, God, I choose righteousness and holiness? Why am I having a battle? Why do I do good for 1 week or a month, and then I have thoughts or depression or insecurity or fear or lust for sin? Where do all these things come from? I thought I was born again. And it tells you the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary. They're opposing. This is the battle every Christian steps into. The moment you're born again, your inner man becomes light. Your spiritual mind is light, but laying right on top of that spiritual mind is a natural mind that's left in darkness. Your emotions are now light, but of the inner man, but laying on top of that is the heart of the outward man, the emotions of the outward man. The soul of the outward man lays on top of the soul of the inner man, and they're connected. The answer is now you've got a trench warfare, a battle that starts the moment you're born again, because your inner man's been born again, but your outward man was left in darkness. So now they oppose each other. How different is a child of God from a child of the world? How different is a lousy child of God from a great child of the world? As different as light is from darkness. See, you're born again, your inner man. How different is your inner man from your outer man? As far as light is from darkness, they're contrary to one another. They oppose each other. And that's the battle every Christian steps into when they're born again. Instantly, now your inner man of righteousness is saying, morally, we don't sin. We don't do these things. Your outward man is still pulling you towards things. And now you have the fight. So this version of flesh and spirit is talking about a fight between the inner man and the outward man. For the flesh, verse 17, lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So this word Spirit is the inner man. If you're led by the inner man, you don't need an outward law to tell you how to live. Now the works of the flesh, this word flesh is the outward man's soul. The outward man's soul that was not saved, but you're wearing them now. The outward man's soul is stained by the old wine, the nature of sin. It stained it. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are. So the root of all of these sins that he's talking about is in the soul of the outward man. So if someone says, why am I tempted? Why do I struggle with these thoughts, these sins, these emotions, depression, pride? Why do I struggle these things if I've been made a new creature from God? Because you're wearing an outward man that has a mind, will, and emotions that are stained from sin. that's your struggle. You don't have a nature of sin anymore, but you're wearing the outward old wineskin. The old wineskin is still breathing and existing on you. It's rotting off of you every day. It gets a little older. One day it's going to fall off of you, and you'll be standing there in your inner man, and you'll look like Christ. And then at the trumpet, if you go to heaven before then, you will receive in the air a new outward body. But if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. Now the works of the outward man, he uses the word flesh, but the works of the soul of the outward man, more specific, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what he's saying here is those evil desires, if you embrace them and say, this is just who I am. Now, he's not talking so much about the actions of sin, the struggles of sin. He's talking about if you embrace any of these sins, and some of them are really, really horrible, bad sins, but some of them aren't that bad. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbirth of wrath, selfish ambitions. You know, that's not as bad as adultery or fornication, you know, but having selfish ambitions. Maybe you know a Christian that has a selfish ambition. So in interpreting this part where it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God, I believe what he's saying, that if you practice this, if you embrace the outward man as who you are, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, I don't have to repent of sin anymore, I'm good, this is who I am, God made me this way, I'm accepting who my outward man says I am, and you begin to embrace it and protect it and live in it, you can eventually give up your nature of righteousness and receive back a nature of sin. And that those are the ones who will not receive the kingdom of God. For a struggling Christian, if you struggle with some of these areas, I want you to know that God doesn't just reject you because you've done something five times. You know, and it's more when you embrace it and you practice it, you protect it, you say, this is who I am, you're in danger of stepping away from God and receiving that nature of sin back, and you will not enter into heaven. Again, this is the works of the outward man. The outward man has the power to drag you back to hell, even though you've been born again, if you play with it and embrace it. The first things we need to teach our newborn believers is who they are now that they're saved and how to grow and mature. Because the answer to the flesh, the answer to the struggle with the outward man is to grow up and mature the inner man. That doesn't happen instantly. When a person's born again and I were to take a love of Christ regulator, you know, a little beeper, beep, 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 and I were scanning people with the love of Christ. Now, the love of Christ, or agape love, is love that only is found in heaven. It's not found on the earth. The most loving grandma who rescues people and cats and cooks you apple pies, if she's not saved and I scanned her, there would be no beep, because her love is human love. Her love is a love that originated from the earth, from darkness. And so even the best love you can find on the earth will not even make the regulator beep one time of the love of Christ, because that love is only found in God. It is a holy love, a powerful love, an expensive love. It's an all forgiving love. It's an amazing love that only God had. It's the love of Him that caused Him not to abandon the human race, but to send His Son to die for us. Now, that love can grow, form in your inner man. It can't in the outward man, because the outward man has been stained with the old nature of sin that used to be in there. But not only did he give you a new nature, but he also gave you a new inner man that has a mind, emotions, and desires that can think and feel and develop just like Jesus had. In other words, it has the capacity for that love to people who, my neighbor, if I love my neighbor with the love of Christ, they will feel like they just met Jesus. If I love them with the love of Alan in the name of Christ, they'll feel they just got loved by a guy. It's not the same. And so when a Christian's born again, if I were to scan them with the love, I might get one beep just because there's a little in there from the new nature. The new nature has to bring forward that love into the inner man. It must grow and be formed. And so as you spend time praying in tongues and worshiping God, the love of Christ begins to form in that inner man. And then as I bring the beeper by, it might get two or three or four. It'll grow. But to take a newborn believer and say, okay, now that you're saved, you got the love of Christ, go love your neighbor. If I scan them, I might go, beep, that's it. They don't have much because they're just born again. That inner man must be developed. Otherwise, the love of Christ goes beep, and the love of Alan goes beep, 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 beep. And so most churches, or how do I say it nicely, the modern carnal church, has been trained how to love with their love in the name of Jesus. But if you scan them, you'll find that they haven't been developing that inner man. There's not much of the love of Christ in them. Hope that makes sense. And that's the picture he lays for us here in verse 22. He just talked about the works of the flesh, the outward man's soul, mind, will, and emotions, which is now being opposed by the heart of the inner man. And he uses this terminology, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that word Spirit, you can underline it as a small s, meaning your new nature. So the fruit of the new nature. Now, remember, the new nature is complete. It's like a seed is fully complete. And now it wants to bring forward the image of Christ forward into the inner man. The new wineskin can hold this new wine. So it wants to bring forward that image. It wants to bring it forward so that the love of Christ will start to grow in the inner man, in the emotions of the inner man. And so whenever you see the word fruit, that's a picture. Where do you find fruit? You find fruit on a mature fruit tree. You don't find fruit on a seed. You don't find fruit on an immature tree. It's a fruit that comes forward when you mature. And that's the answer Paul's given to them to overcome sin. Grow up that inner man. If you grow up that inner man, you will start to overcome the outward man. The way to long term. Now, short term, you can overcome the desires of the outward flesh. You can overcome the desires of the brokenness of the outward man's soul with discipline, with willpower. You can deny it, resist it, and stand against it. I'm a child of God. I choose holiness. Yes, good for you. That's a great start. That's short term. You can change your friends, lose all your old buddies, throw all your computers out. You can live holy by discipline and willpower and denying the desires of the flesh. But this is a picture of long term. How to overcome it is by growing up that inner man. Then through the inner man, you will put to death, you will overcome the outward man. The long-term answer to victory for you and for me in all areas is to pour and develop this inner man. Through the inner man's growth and maturity, you will overcome long-term the outward man's brokenness. I'm going to pause there because I'm up. My time's up here. We'll come back to this. Hold that thought and come back to Romans chapter 8 for me. Now, you can take Galatians 16 and 17, chapter 5. I'll read it to you. Don't turn there. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, and we're going to read it, then we're going to place that on top of Romans chapter 8, verse 10. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. And let's place that scripture on top of Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So this is a comparison here. The body is dead. The outward man is dead because of sin, the flesh, and the Spirit is alive, the inner man, because of righteousness. You've been born again. You have the potential to have all of Christ, that all that He walked in, and have the power of the Holy Spirit flow through you. But the answer isn't by just believing, by receiving. It's by growing and developing that inner man. We're going to talk more about that in the next lesson. Thank you again for spending time with me. I appreciate you. I love you, and I'll see you soon. God bless.